just tell you something. I'm coming back a different person than when we last met several weeks ago. First off, I went on holidays to visit some of my family in BC. Second, I spoke at camp at Northern Pentecostal Bible Camp just last week. I was their morning Bible teacher. I think it was last week. Somehow the days are blending together. But anyways, I was there for a week, and I spoke 6 days, and I'm gonna bring you proof next week of just that I really did do what I'm about to tell you I did. There is a man there named Benny. Benny, for 40 years, has been taking pastors on Setting Lake fishing. I have never been fishing in a boat in my life. I stood on the shore of the Vedder River once in Chilliwack while my brother fished, and I held his pole briefly, but I never caught a fish. So this gentleman, Benny, has been taking pastors for 40 years, and so he said, "I got 3 spots in the boat. Anybody want to go?" I was like, "Oh yeah, like this girl wants to go. I would love to catch a fish. I've never caught a fish in my life." Anyway, so I want you to know, I come back, friends, I caught not one, not two, I caught 3 fish. Yes, I sure did. And I think they're called walleye. And there's some other name for them too, but anyways, I did, walleye, or otherwise known as pickerel. I'll bring you a picture. It's true. I caught 3 fish. I think I can preach about, you know, being a fisherman of people now in a different way because I caught some fish. And here's the cool thing. 40 years Benny has been doing it. I was his first woman preacher. I'll bring picture next week because that guy was standing tall and proud. He's like, "I've been doing this for 40 years and I never had a girl. Never had a girl preacher." So I said, I'm delighted to be that person. So I come back with a little more experience, and I'm excited to be with you. So Pastor Rob, as you know, is on holidays, and then he's going on a 3-week study journey. And so Pastor Jamin and I, we're tag teaming a little bit. Actually, he's probably leading far better and in different ways than I am, because he set me up for success this morning, because I have an order of go. And if I didn't have that order of go, I don't know where we'd be going. But I know that our next place is, we're going to talk about Peter. So I want to talk about Peter. So all of August, if you're going to be here for August, here's what I want you to do. I want to encourage you to do 2 things. 1, bring your Bible, because we are diving into 1 Peter all of August. 2, I would encourage you outside of Sunday morning to read through the letter of 1 Peter, because that's what we'll be talking about this month, okay? So I want to talk about Peter, but Peter who? Because sometimes we come to church and we just assume that, or we sit in the pew, and the way that the pastor or the teacher talks, it's like they assume that we know who they're talking about. And so I wanted to go back to the beginning and say, well, Peter who? See, Peter is a name that I think is somewhat familiar to us. But if a letter came in the mail and all it said for the return address was Peter, we might pick up the mail, turn it over and look and go, like, Peter who? I don't know who this sender is. And we might put the letter aside and make a decision right then and there that whatever its contents might be, it can wait for another day. Why? Because there are people in our world that we know, people who we've met and whom we have relationship with and whose words carry some clout with us. For example, if you got a letter, an email from Pastor Rob or Pastor Jamin, who've been leading here for years, it's going to carry some weight. If you get a letter from Pastor Rob or Pastor Jamin, you're going to be inclined to either open that email and read its contents, or open that letter if it was, you know, came snail mail. Why? Because you know them, right? They've been serving among you for some time as your leaders. And I really thought it was important that before we could really dive into 1 Peter, before we were really in a position for us to grasp what the letter of 1 Peter was all about, it would be important for us to know who this Peter guy is. Do you know that he's mentioned, like, I'm a bit of a Bible nerd, gonna admit it, I'm proud of it, I like it, I'm cool with it. Here's my nerdy moment, okay? Peter is mentioned 188 times in the New Testament, whereas the Apostle Paul is mentioned 177 times. So let's start at the beginning. Let's start with the first time that we are introduced to Peter. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 4, verses 18 to 20. Now, I want you to know that for most of August's messages, I'm going to have most of the scripture up on the overhead. I won't necessarily have all of it, but I'll have most of it, but I would encourage you to bring your Bible. So here we go. This is the first time we're introduced to the apostle. Actually, he's not even an apostle yet. He's a fisherman. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Here we find the story of two guys simply out one day minding their own business, doing the work that they do. They were commercial fishermen. And they meet perhaps for the first time, perhaps not, we're actually not told in the text, this guy named Jesus. And Jesus carries enough authority that for some reason, both Peter and his brother Andrew are said to have left their nets and followed him. And it's interesting to note in a parallel passage, we're going to read from Mark 1, verses 16 to 18. I'm going to read this for us now. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. We get nearly the same story with the names in the exact order. We get Peter first and then Andrew. And I realize that most of us likely don't care to pay attention to details like that, and that's okay, but this matters. Because when we get names or lists of things, and they are listed in the same order in the synoptic gospel, meaning, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, we see together in the Gospels. That's what it means to be synoptic. We see together. So we're looking at this story. It indicated for us that Peter was very likely to be the first disciple called. Because in both accounts, actually in all accounts, his name shows up first. Peter. And then his brother Andrew. So Peter who? Peter, the first disciple of Jesus to be called. In the next passage we're going to look at, we find Jesus having a conversation with his disciples about what people think about him or who they think he is. So Peter's been with Jesus for a little while by now. And Jesus starts with the peripheral view. He seeks to know what people outside of his inner circle are saying about his identity. And then he turns inward to his inner circle. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And catch this, now Jesus looks at them and says, "But what about you?" he said. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he orders his disciples to not tell anyone that he was the Messiah. In this passage, we learn two things that we can add to our Peter who question. Peter is the first to acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah and Son of God. And Peter is the first disciple of Jesus to receive a divine revelation from Jesus' heavenly Father. We also know that Jesus cares about Peter and his other disciples. He cares that they have a right perspective on their place in the kingdom and that they have a right view of themselves. And so one evening, as they're gathered for dinner, a dispute arises about which one of these disciples is going to be considered the best or the greatest in the kingdom. See, they want to one-up. Who's better, Jesus? A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And imagine this. Jesus turns and looks directly at Peter during this dinner conversation. So imagine that there's this conversation happening about who's going to be the greatest, and Jesus explains to them that he's the greatest one, but he came to serve. And then all of Jesus' attention turns to Peter. And he looks Peter in the eye, and he says to him this, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon. I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison. I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, and says, "Peter, Simon, I tell you, before the rooster crows today, you're going to deny me three times." So Peter who? Peter, who's now been pre-warned that he's going to go through a hard time. He's going to get sifted like wheat. Peter, who's been told that his beloved friend and Messiah, this Jesus that he said yes to following, is praying for him. Peter, who's been told that before the rooster crows today, he will deny Jesus three times. Peter, who's now been told that his life mission is to strengthen believers, and it starts with his brothers first. And a little later on, we're going to see how he continues to fulfill this life mission. Now let's bump down a few verses in that same chapter of Luke 22. We're going to bump down to verse 52, and here's what it says. Then seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he, Peter, denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And with all my heart, I believe that when Jesus turned to look at Peter, it was with the eyes of love. It was with the eyes of, "I'm praying for you, Peter. Remember our conversation just a few hours ago." The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Peter who? Peter, the one who before the end of the day was complete, had denied Jesus 3 times. I think it's fair to say that at this juncture of Peter's life, he's still not sure whether he's all in for Jesus. He's not sure whether he's going to be following Jesus with his whole heart and his life. Does he really believe all these things that Jesus has been telling him? Does he really want to be the one sifted and then responsible for strengthening his brothers and then beyond? This season of Peter's life reminds me of me. A person who at one time felt a pull to Jesus, but who wasn't sure she was all in for Jesus. I'm a person who's questioned whether I could endure the persecution to come. I'm a person who's questioned whether I could stand strong in the midst of wanting to and yet having doubts. I'm a person who's wondered, do I really want this life? There's a cost to follow Jesus. I've questioned. Have you ever in your journey felt like a Peter, questioning, doubting, perhaps even denying Jesus at some point in your life? You see, I think many of us have. And perhaps there's even some of us here today who find ourselves on the brink of either a decision for Jesus or a decision on whether or not we're all in for Christ. Perhaps some of you are just not sure that Jesus is right for you. In my recent studies of Peter, I've spent months in 1 Peter preparing. One of the things that I've grown to love about him is that he really demonstrates for us that ordinary men and women are called of Jesus and can be empowered to do great things. It's the Jesus in Peter that makes him great. So Peter isn't some guy way off here that's so big that we can't even relate to. He was a man called by Jesus. He had a divine revelation from the Father. He had been told that he's going to go through hard times, that he was going to deny Jesus, and then he ends up denying Jesus, and he's deeply grieved over his choice. You know, to weep bitterly isn't just to let one tear slip from your eye. But that's not the end of Peter's story. We're just getting started. And as we transition into more of Peter's story, it's important for us to note that by this time in Peter's life, Jesus has been crucified, he's been buried, and he's been resurrected. And so this isn't on the slide, but I'm going to invite you to turn with me to John 20. If you have a Bible with you, turn with me to John 20. If you have your Bible on your phone, open up your phone. Let's go to John 20. If you don't have it and you see someone around you that has a Bible, get close. That's okay. We can share here. We're family. Oh, actually, hang on a minute. Maybe I do have it up there. Let's see. It's up there. It's up there. Okay, here we go. We're in John 20, starting in verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter. Here we go, Peter's first again. She comes running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Let me just back up for a minute here, because we're reading from the Gospel of John. I want to tell you, John loves to tell you that Jesus loves him, right? So this whole thing about she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, here's John's self-descriptor of himself, the one Jesus loved. And he said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. So here's Peter and John. They start a race. Both were running. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter. There's John's little competitive nature. He outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first, listen, John doesn't want us to forget, John reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. I love the way the Apostle John describes himself, the disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and the one who got there first. So Peter who? Peter, the one who was among the first to witness the empty tomb. But even at this point in Peter's life, he's still got some unfinished business in his heart. He's not yet connected with Jesus about his denial. And maybe he's wondering, am I ever going to be able to make that right? And here's the good news, friends. Jesus is not finished speaking into Peter's life either. Let's jump over to John 21. This is the part that actually isn't in my Bible, or isn't on the screen, sorry. John 21, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, friends, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, so here's John, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread, and Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, like, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He's asking him, "Do you agape me? Do you have warm regard for me? Do you love me more than your own life?" Jesus is asking him. "Yes, Lord," he says. "You know that I have a special interest in you. It's a phileo love. It's a friendship kind of love." Despite his answer, Jesus says to him, "Feed my lambs." There's a commissioning happening. Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you agape me? Do you love me more than your own life? Do you have warm regard for me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I have a special love for you, a friendship kind of love." Despite that answer, Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you have a friendship type of love for me? Do you phileo me?" That's the Greek word. And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you agape me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." It's a phileo kind of love that Peter has at this moment, and yet Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." "Very truly, I tell you, when you were young, Peter, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted." You got to choose the path, Peter. You went where you wanted. "But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go, Peter." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to Peter again, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved, so John, was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said, "Lord, well, what about him? What about that guy? What about him?" And Jesus says to Peter, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Peter, you must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, What is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies of these things and who wrote them down. And we know that his testimony is true. Let me summarize John 20 for us, because there are a few things of importance that we can take away. Peter is restored by Jesus. Peter is commissioned to the people of God. You see, lambs mean sheep of any age. And we know from the scripture that sheep are the people of God. It's a metaphor. It's a picture. Peter will die a death that glorifies God. Peter is to follow Jesus regardless of what's to happen or what's in it for others. It's about him. So what does Peter do next? And by next, I mean, where is the next time we're going to see Peter? We find Peter again in Acts 1. And it's not on the screen. It's in Acts 1. Where Jesus tells his believers to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of his Holy Spirit until the gift of his Father had arrived. Acts 1 verse 4 says this: on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this commandment: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Now, if we flip over to Acts 2, which isn't on the screen, we're going to find this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest upon each one of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And if we bump down to verse 14 of Acts chapter 2, we find Peter rising up to give his first message to people. It's a gospel message, and it's not his only message. You see, if we travel through the book of Acts, we find Peter often proclaiming Christ. We also find that he has a healing ministry, and he deals harshly with deceit. He has a miraculous release from prison, and he also becomes an advocate for the Gentile converts. That means the people who weren't Jews, but who came to know Jesus and were grafted into this long history of faith. And some 30 years into his ministry, he's still doing what he's commissioned to do: feed and care for God's people. You see, next Sunday, we're going to dive into a letter that he's written to a group of people who are scattered and who are in Asia Minor and are going through a hard time. 30 years later, Peter is still following Christ. So let me loop back around and close with these summit thoughts. Peter was a man, he was a person like you or I, whom Jesus called for his glory and to participate in advancing God's kingdom. Peter struggled in his faith, but it is obvious that he overcame those struggles. He made a decisive decision that he was going to follow Jesus all the days of his life, no matter what it cost him. And it cost him, friends. But he loved Jesus. He loved Jesus. Peter did not let his mistakes define him, but he picked up his God-given purpose and he lived it. Peter was an apostle. An apostle means one who is sent on a special mission. Peter was on a mission with and for God. Lastly, Peter was an important figure in the early church. His voice was respected and because he was known as one who looked out for others. He cared about people. We'll come back to Peter next week, and we're going to work our way through that letter. I would encourage you to read it this week and remind yourself, look, this was 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection that Peter is doing what God told him he would pray for him to do. So I want to leave you with these two questions for you to consider this week. These reflection questions. Is there something about Peter's story that Holy Spirit is drawing to my attention today? And maybe that'll come as you dive into 1 Peter yourself, but is there something of his story or of his life that is capturing my heart or my imagination or my thoughts today? What am I being invited to do? And how will I respond? I'd like to invite the worship team back up. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you that you choose ordinary people. And that if we just dig deep enough in the scripture, we realize that they're people just like us. People who struggled, who had questions, who didn't fully understand, but also who were like, well, I'm going to start to follow, and then I'm going to follow a little more until they made a decision that they were all in for Jesus. Thank you for Peter's life, for his story. God, I pray that this week we would hear the whispers, the invitation from you to just be in your presence, to learn from Peter's life. And God, if there is something you want to invite us to, that you would give us the grace to follow that through. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'll invite you.